It's so weird because I feel like Bjork and I feel like Radiohead are both two artists where people are like, they're just too avant-garde for me. And it's like, not really. Like,
yeah, their music like, really not. Like, literally, Bjork writes, like, honestly, her newer stuff's a little bit more strange. But, like, her old stuff, like, Isobel, like,
yeah.
Mama, that's just a pop song with strings.
Look at fucking Hyperballad. Like, it's, and every single gay pop star from the past 20 years has directly ripped that song off.
No, literally, Dancing on My Own is literally Hyperballad 2.0. For real. Like, the Hyperballad's like the blueprint for like a sad dance song.
And out came talk.
I almost said aloha, and I don't know.
Aloha.
Maybe it's all the Lilo and Stitch discourse on Twitter.
So much Lilo and Stitch discourse. I mean, Sasha Colby did just win Drag Race.
Oh,
so
there you go. That's why aloha, it's just kind of permeated my mind. There's a lot of
Hawaii is having, yeah, it's having They're a moment having a right moment. Now.
They're having a moment.
Yes. Aloha. I don't know any other words in Hawaiian. Mahalo.
What's the one from Lilo and Stitch? Ohana.
Oh, Ohana. Ohana means
ohana
family.
Ohana means family. And family, means nobody gets left behind. Forgotten. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
There we go.
The way I'm still going to go see the live action remake. So now that Disney's getting into 2000s Disney films,
yeah, no.
Now it's over for me.
It's like you saw the thing they're like, or they're working on a live action remake of Moana. And it's like, that came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was not that long ago. Why are you doing this? I don't get it. I mean, I get it. I get why they're doing it money-wise. Artistically, yes. I don't get why they're doing it. I think the idea of doing a Lilo and Stitch movie sounds okay in concept. I'm just really concerned about Stitch.
Yes, it's going to be a fucking monstrosity.
Because in the animated film, everyone thinks it's like an ugly dog. So I'm like, well, they're going to have to make it look like a realistic ugly dog that's blue, I guess.
I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
I don't know what they're going to do. But also,
unless they like lean into it being like not even, I'm trying to think, like they make it more like not realistic and more alien, not alien looking, but like almost like a Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse kind of thing.
Because here's the thing, I don't know though, because all these Disney remakes are like, they're all about realism or like getting as close to realism as they can be, which is so bizarre.
That's not why I watch Disney movies. It's not for the fucking realistic like pecs on the fucking King Triton in Little Mermaid. I don't care about that.
Isn't it crazy that the animated King Triton is hotter than the one in the movie?
For real, I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah. So crazy. But yeah, it's really like, it's sad. And then sad. Like the Wicked pictures came out sad. But everything is like, just sad.
Turn up the light. Why is everything so dark?
What is wrong? God, get these people to go watch like a Powell and Pressburger movie for God's sakes.
It's just,
what happened to color?
Do y'all have like vision problems? Do you have like cataracts in Los Angeles or something? Do everything just looks like that?
I don't know why. I don't know. No one knows why. No one understands. No one gets it.
It's awful.
I don't get it. It's really weird.
Mario sucked, but at least it was colorful.
Maybe it's because that kind of dark lighting you can only really appreciate in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So maybe they're like, oh, like if you really want to experience the movie, you have to go see it in theaters. You shouldn't watch it on Disney Plus.
Because it'll be incomprehensible if you're poorly...
Unless you're a rich person with a movie theater room.
Calibrated TV, yeah. Mm-hmm. Awful. Hi, welcome to Straight People Movies. It's a podcast where we two gays get together. We watch a movie made for straight people, and we ask the question, why the fuck is it so dark in here? My name is Dylan Garcia.
And I'm Kirk Van Sickle. Well, turn on those stadium lights, Dylan.
I know, that's the thing. That's how you get them. That's how you see, is if you have big, giant, bright floodlights. That's what I'm going to start bringing to the movie theater.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my popcorn, my large Pepsi Max Zero, and a floodlight.
And a floodlight. Light that shit yourself.
Mm-hmm. I want to see Renfield and all the detail. Renfield is fine.
Yeah, I want to see all the hard work these people put into these movies.
Yes.
That are not obvious cash grabs.
Show with a floodlight to Skinamarink.
Oh my God. Maybe you'd actually find something in those boring images of the wall.
My name is Dylan Garcia. Did we already do this?
Yeah, we already did, but why not? I'm Kirk Van Sickle.
And I'm Dylan Garcia.
And I'm Kirk Van Sickle.
And my name is Dylan Garcia.
And my name is Kirk Van Sickle. You say your name enough times and it becomes gobbledygook.
Exactly. Look, I have been... I smoked a lot of weed this week. Right? Did a lot of gummies.
Good for you, bitch.
My brain is still... Well, because we watched the Coachella live stream all weekend.
Oh, that's so cute. I watched a little bit of Magdalena Bays on Friday. It was cute.
They were against Muna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched Muna.
God, and you heard the worst song that's ever been written, Silk Chiffon.
Shut the fuck up. That song is so good.
Song is just great. The nastiest, sappiest, grossest melody I've ever heard in my life.
Life is so fun. But yeah, no, that was all we did. So I think I just have some residual Delta 8s coursing through my vein. You singing, what is it? She's So High? Who does that song?
I think I was singing. The melody was actually that song that's like, that Jason Mraz song. Where he's like, I'm not trying to run off away.
Whenever I hosted or I directed this show, that show Jesus did the poster for, that was supposed to be like, it was like a King of Queens style sitcom that eventually got gayer. That was kind of like the point of the show. And so what I wanted the music for the audience to be playing as they're walking in was like early 2000s male soft rock. So like Jason Mraz, like that song, and like Lifehouse, Hanging on a Moment, and shit like that.
Oh, cute.
But my co-director was like, no, you gotta have better music. When people come in, they're gonna get mad.
No, it's part of the funny part of it. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Because what about that one song that's like, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. Like, I mean, imagine that one.
I mean, Gavin McGraw, he came to Fresno's once. It was whenever he was opening for Shania Twain, I think, at Frank Irwin Center. And he pulled up and I saw him, and in my head I was like, is that Gavin DeGraw? And look at this credit card. And it sure the fuck was.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
God, I really hope that when he was getting Fresno's that no one was trying to make him do anything that wasn't him trying to be anything other than he wanted to be lately.
He's like, I don't mean to be rude, but why is my order taking so long? Like, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. And like, this is really getting in the way of that.
Poor Gavin.
Poor
Must
Gavin.
Be really hard being a white man in a beanie.
He probably has so much fucking money. One song.
No, that's the thing. It's like, you can like, we can clown him. We can keep clowning him. And he's like chuckling to himself silently. Mm-hmm. He's like, I mean, but I'm a fucking multimillionaire, bitch. Mm-hmm. So fuck y'all.
I wrote one song, and they put that in a TV show that ran for 4 billion episodes.
Yeah.
I got that money.
Yeah.
All right. You can tell that we really are passionate about today's movie.
I mean, I'm passionate enough about it. There's a dream, and there's some dreams, and they're in a field.
Look, those are two things that I don't like. I don't like dreams, and I don't like fields.
You like dreams?
I mean...
Are you not a dreamer?
They say I'm a dreamer. No, I like dreams. I think they're fine. I just like I don't remember them, and so I just like.
Oh, so that's why you're being so fucking whatever about it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like, I'm not gonna remember. Then like, why do I experience it? I hate.
But
this.
Like, do you have a dream?
Do I have
so like first dream, sleep dreams, now dreams, like a dream, like a wishful dream.
No, I have no dreams, no aspirations.
Isn't it
no
so
goals.
Funny how gay men just don't have dreams?
No, we don't.
I just
want to sleep.
I just want to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, why don't we, let me give people a little intro.
To feel the dreams.
Because, you know, some of y'all might not have had dads that forced you to watch this. so let me give you a little background on the film. This week we watched Field of Dreams, the 1989 film directed by Phil Alden Robinson. And starring Kevin Costner. I think this is his debut.
I think so.
We finally got a Kevin Costner join
it
up
took
in here.
98 episodes.
Yeah, it needed to happen. Amy Madigan, Queen. James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta, RIP, and Burt Lancaster. And basically, a farmer in Iowa begins hearing voices telling him to build a baseball diamond in the middle of his farmland to lure the ghosts of professional baseball players. Instead of admitting himself to a psychiatric ward, he builds it.
He builds a damn thing.
And man, It's just a beautiful field in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa.
Honestly, it looked really good. He did
a
good job.
It's like a really nice field.
Kevin kind of crushed it.
He kind of crushed.
He did. Good for Kevin.
Good for Kevin. But anyway, yeah, Field of Dreams. Dreams within a field. What did you think? Was this your first time watching Le Field of Dreams?
This was my first time watching the Field of Dreams. The Dream Field. And look, it's fine. Whatever. It's fine.
Like, you're right. Like, you're absolutely right. It's totally fine. But also, like, why were there so many movies like this at this time period?
For
and
real?
What the fuck do you call this kind of movie?
It's just like, it's like Forrest Gump. It's just like boomer shit.
It is boomer shit.
Boomer shit. This is
but
what
it's like
is.
Even like it's at least Forrest Gump is like based in some sort of fucking reality.
Yeah. It's like Frank Capra.
Yeah.
Shit. It's like this guy.
It's very It's a Wonderful Life type shush.
Yes.
It's fantastical. But sappy and family oriented. And baseball's there to lure men in, I guess, to watch it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I thought. So, first of all, this poster, mama, this poster.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's so aesthetic.
I love it. To me, like that, like I know it came out in 89, but that to me is early 90s aesthetic.
Like, this looks like a Magdalena Bay album.
No, it's crazy. This is the same year that Disintegration by The Cure came out. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, insane.
It's so weird. And, like, okay. This movie is, you know, successful. Like, this is a consummate. This is a classic, forever, permanent dad movie.
Yeah.
But, like, it also was, like, critically acclaimed and it got nominated for, like, three
Oscars.
Yeah,
Roger Ebert gave it 4 out of 4 stars.
Yeah. And it got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, I mean...
But it was the 80s when... The 80s Oscars are the worst Oscars.
God, yeah. This is such a great fucking poster. Yeah. I mean, it's a strange movie. It's a strange movie. There's a lot going... But here, the thing is this is why the movie's interesting to me. You could, like, pick apart, like, the boomer man's mind psychologically through the plot of this fucking movie. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Everything is there. But it's also, like, it's a mix of, like... It's basically, like... What things would a white man in America in 1989 need to be able to fulfill his dream of saying sorry to his father? Okay, a farm, number one. Number two, a baseball field. Number three, a very weirdly supportive wife. Like,
yes,
I stand her because she was awesome, but of course you stand her because that's what a perfect person is.
Mm-hmm.
She's literally so... supportive. It's like actually insane.
Yeah, like if I told Alex that I keep hearing these voices that are telling me to, that'd be like if I took our apartment, if we were like in our apartment right here and I was like, Alex, I heard this voice in my head the other day that said I need to just take a sledgehammer to a third of our apartment and then build a ball pit in there like it's a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
you would shoot me.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's craziness. And it's supposed to like make us feel like warm and fuzzy inside.
No.
But like when you really like take a step, but that's the thing, is the movie fucking sells it. That's the thing about, that's what's so dangerous about Field of Dreams, bitch. It's scary. It's like he's so fucking psychotic and yet he gets everyone like we go from like James Earl Jones being like, I'm gonna fucking murder you with this like whatever that was, crowbar that he just randomly has in his apartment, to him being like, I will go with you all the way to fucking Minnesota to find like a ghost. Like, what?
Also, if I was in a field and if I was in a field
of dreams,
and there was a medical emergency that happened, and then all of the sudden an old doctor walks out of the ether and just shows up, I would start throwing up. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, process that, like, psychologically.
No, it's too much.
It's so,
also,
like,
why does the daughter choke? What was the point of that scene?
She was choking on the foolishness of trying to sell the farm.
But that's what's so funny, is, like, what is this movie standing for?
Good question.
Because I, the first, like, 30 minutes of the movie, I was like, okay, like, they mentioned that, you know, they were at Berkeley in the 60s, and then now they own a farm in Iowa. And I was like, okay, so this is the story of, like, your average boomer man, which is, like, he marched, smoked some grass, and then now as a conservative. Mm-hmm. But they actually paint him and his wife to be like these like more like liberal intellectuals living in like a farm town with that whole like random PTA scene that also had nothing yes. to do with anything. And I just like, I feel like there was a lot of like details. Like there was a lot of like details sprinkled in there, but it didn't mm-hmm. all like add up to anything at the end of the movie other than like him being like, I love you, Dad. Let's play catch.
Yeah, like it's at the end of the day, this movie is about the hubris of the straight man.
Yeah, and everything just works out for him. Did you think it was like a little okay? And then the whole thing about like all these like old people are just gonna be hypnotized and like come to this field of dreams in the middle of Iowa and not know why and give you $20 to watch like old baseball players. It was just all very strange. And I think the movie really leans on this idea that like baseball is like is the perfection of the American dream in an act. It's like playing baseball is like the only thing America like got right or something. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels like it really leans on that. And that we as the viewer are supposed to just like go along with that feeling. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course, baseball in the 20s clearly like is when America peaked, you know?
Well, it's like baseball is like the most, it's America's pastime. It's, you know, right. the sport of America. And it's like, I guess like in the 80s and stuff, like it was, because, like, I would say, like, now, and this is, like, okay, I'm so sorry to, like, the straight people that listen to the podcast, but, like, and I'm talking fully out of my ass, but, like.
Yeah, we don't know anything about baseball.
Anything about sports. Literally nothing. But this is just from my colloquial whatever. I feel like basketball has overtaken mm-hmm. baseball as the sport of the Americas. Like, football, yes, still big, still huge, gigantic, but it's, football feels too, like, mired in controversy at all times.
Mm-hmm. I would say football is, like, the middle America sport, and basketball is the city sport.
Yeah.
It's like baseball used to be the city sport, and now I think it's basketball. I agree with you. I think basketball's taken over as, like, the city sport.
Yeah. However, I will, the second, when we move to Chicago, I will be going to Wrigley Field all the time.
I mean, I love is a strong word. I like going to baseball games. Yeah. Out of all the different games I could go to, I would prefer to go to a baseball game because I prefer a nothing is happening until something happens type thing mm-hmm. rather than everyone screaming and crying and throwing up the whole time because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
I like hot dogs. I like alcohol. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's not really, you know, baseball's got all those things, you know, for me. But, yeah, I think watching Field of Dreams now is a little awkward because, you know, it's so funny because we make fun of the modern age, like the time we're in right now, for how nostalgic we are. But if movies are any indicator, we've been nostalgic mm-hmm. for decades. Because all 80s and 90s movies are like obsessed with like post-World War II. Not even post-World War II, just the 20s through to like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like post-Great Depression to like the 50s. It just like, there's a lot of movies that like bring back that vibe, whether it's aesthetically or it's literally about things that happen then, like Field of Dreams. Like,
yeah.
There's so like, even like, I mean, I guess it's a little later, but like Pleasantville or like, I'm trying to think of, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Like, there's so many movies where, like, everyone's, like, really nostalgic for, like, this old America.
Greece, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the 80s, 50s. Happy days, same thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I feel like Field of Dreams falls into that category of just, like, man, like, you know, it's kind of crazy how the movie wants to sell to us that this, like, political writer, like, this 60s counterculture writer was like, fuck the counterculture. It all didn't end up going anywhere. But man, baseball back in the 30s, that makes me feel alive again. And it's just like, it just simplifies everything. It's very like Forrest Gump. That was a great mm-hmm. comparison. It's very like Forrest Gump, where it's like, we all got caught up in this and that and race and, you know, war and women's rights. But really, all you need is a cornfield with a baseball diamond in the middle of Iowa with your very supportive wife, your precocious daughter, and your black writer friend that you kidnapped from Boston, you know? And it's just kind of, it's very odd. But it works. It's kind of like Million Dollar Baby. It like weirdly works.
Oh, I'd watch this movie in a hotel.
Yeah, it's a very, I mean, this is actually one of the few movies, honestly, Dylan, that we've watched where I've had to watch it as a matinee in the middle of the day where I was paying attention the whole time.
Yeah.
Because it's just got daytime movie written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was such an easy daytime watch.
You know what made this movie better? Rented it off of iTunes. Commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Some movies just need a commercial break. And it's not because, like, I don't want to watch the movie, but it's just like sometimes you just need 4 to 6 minutes break.
Because
after
we talk about this movie for the next, like, 30 minutes, we're never going to think about it again.
Never.
That is how innocuous this movie is. But also weirdly bizarre and kind of psychedelic because it's like,
yes.
But there's a lot of movies like this in this time period. I think we did something else similar to this. What was another, like, weird adult fantasy movie we did? Oh, good it was, question. I think we talked about Elf.
Yeah.
Being, like, the last of this kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Where, like, from the 80s to, like, the mid-2000s, there was a lot of these, like
soft fantasy.
Soft fantasy movies. And I think the most bizarre one is definitely What Dreams May Come with Cuba Gooding Jr. Mm. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen a lot of dream movies, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. What Dreams May Come is a fucking psychotic movie. It's like they like literally go to hell to like save somebody's like dead wife from hell.
Oh, hell yeah.
She like accidentally goes to hell or something. She like actually should have gone to heaven or something. I don't.
We've all been there, girl. Same.
I don't know. Something like that. And they like go to hell and the CGI is insane.
Hell yeah.
Like imagine The Cell, but like PG and for families.
Yes.
It's weird. And there's a lot of movies like this. I do think there's nothing outright religious about this movie. But when they start getting into like heaven at the end, I don't know. I do feel like there's a resurgence of boomers, specifically older boomers. The ones that actually like lived through the 60s. Not like our parents who were like more on the Gen X side. They like missed all that. It's like the older boomers like Kevin Costner who were like around for all that. I feel like this is the story of the kinds of men who were like, I marched, I smoked some weed, and then I realized what's really important, which is God.
Yeah.
And my wife and my kids, you know? And that's what's kind of strange about the movie, you know?
It's going to be so funny, like, the exact same thing happening for, like, people right now. Like, oh, yeah, I was in, you know, the BLM protests. I, you know, fought for trans rights and stuff. And then in 20 years... same thing, but this time they all have stick and poke tattoos.
Well, you know, someone on Twitter said something really interesting the other day. It's there's this fallacy that we're kind of touching on it, right? Which is that when you get older, you get more conservative. But that's actually not true. What it is that if you become more wealthy, you become more conservative. That's the correlation. And a lot of boomers became very wealthy in the 80s because of Reaganomics.
Mm-hmm. So ones who didn't were that were poor and died from, you know, AIDS or
the crack epidemic if they were in the city or whatever. Exactly.
Or were killed with the CIA.
Right. So it's just like my parents are like literally a perfect example of this. Like my mom and dad were both raised middle class, like city kids, and then they both were just got into the right jobs. They were both in oil in the 80s and they got boomed up to upper middle class. Mm. And I think their politics shifted with that. But I think the thing is that they don't want to admit, and sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening to this, but the thing they don't want to admit is that they never really were that political in the first place. They just think, like, they look back and think that they were more liberal when they're younger. They became conservative as they were older. But I think they were just apathetic until they had money. And then when they had money, they were like, well, I don't want the government to take my money. So now they're conservative, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like when people like, sometimes mistake consumption for experience. Mm-hmm. And so if it's like, oh yeah, like I was aware of the protests versus being in the protests.
Right. It's very that energy. It's like they understood what was going on with civil rights and they were probably like one of those people that's like good for them, you know, like they had that attitude towards it, but they weren't like participating or they didn't like care on a deep, like level, like fully empathetic, you know? Yeah. So I do think that Field of Dreams and Forrest Gump and a lot of those kinds of movies like really reinforce this idea of like this generation specifically being very like, I realized what was important in life, which is having my little plot of land, having my family and just doing right by them, you know? Although I will say Field of Dreams weirdly leans in a liberal way, you know, not wanting to lose the farm and this and that, but the politics in these movies in this era are so muddy, it's almost more like libertarian. It's like just very like, let me do what I want.
Mine. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, don't let anyone control me. You know, if I want to talk to dead baseball players in a field, but that's my American right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It's just very strange. Well,
speaking of that, I mean, Kevin Costner, the star of this film.
I know.
Sells it. He feels like the poster child of boomerism to me, of like Hollywood boomerism.
I agree.
He just feels like, yeah, if whenever I hear the word like boomer actor, it's Kevin Costner. And it's crazy. He's like currently in the most watched TV show. Like he's probably our most famous TV star right now.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny that in our realm, Kevin Costner is still like, oh yeah, the guy from Dances with Wolves. What's he been up to? But in like middle America and like conservative boomer America, like he's as big of a star. He's probably the biggest he's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Like, should we watch Yellowstone?
No.
What if we give a Yellowstone podcast?
Oh my God. We're giving the gay angle. Of Yellowstone.
But yeah, it's so wild because it's like that show, like what are the ratings for this show? Because like I feel like, yeah, it gets 12 million viewers.
I know. It's so and funny. Somebody on Twitter like pointed out that someone was like, wow, Succession brought in this many viewers. And someone was like, that's like a third of what Yellowstone brings in like every week. Like
for real. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, Succession's highest view is like 2 million people. But it's like because it's about like media. It's the biggest show in the world.
Right. Yeah. That really like blows my, that is one thing I will say about the world we're living in now is it's like, I just feel like I'm being constantly reminded recently that the world that we see on social media and the world we perceive is like not actually the real world. Like the real world is people watch Yellowstone. Like that's their actual real world.
Yeah. They watch Yellowstone and then they watch like clips of America's Got Talent and like freak out about it.
Yeah, and, like, cat videos. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's, like, I was thinking the other day because there's so much, like, just talk about how, like, when Twitter goes and then, like, when TikTok goes. And it's, like, it's so sad. I understand, like, what I'm about to say is incredibly sad. But, like, I'm, like, what is, like, my life going to be after this? Like, I'm so, like, I've been so used to, like, social media in my life for so long that, like, when this goes, like, what's going to be the change? And, like, I'm not sure what it's gonna be.
So I hate to sound like, you know, a weird influencer or something, but I will say that recently I've been really starting to get like really like exhausted by social media. I have several friends that are not on social media. My best friends, both of them are not on it, and they just seem like happier people.
I know, that's the thing.
Yeah, yes. They do. So I'm just like, I don't know. I think I'm going to go incremental because it's hard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was able to get rid of Facebook and I used to be such a Facebook girl. But the boomers made it easy to leave.
Yes.
But I think it's time. I think Instagram, it's time. It's time to go. Bye-bye, Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm finally gonna get rid of Twitter because it just makes me angry. Everyone just really irritates me on it. And I'm just like, y'all, you are all so annoying. And I feel like I'm just like seeing through all of it. I'm like, these are all 12-year-olds. Like when people say dumb shit on this app, like they're 12. And then like a 50-year-old's like arguing with them. And I'm like, this is just like the I can never say that fucking word.
Anonymity.
Anonymity. That word. Of the internet. Like it's gone too far. It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much. I think I'm just going to have Letterboxd and that's it, girl. I think that's it for me.
I'm probably going to join you soon. I think the thing is like, I don't want Twitter to go away and then it's like, oh, the only sort of like social media is like video based and now I have to like, I just don't like there to not be a text based form of expression.
I get that. But also like Twitter's gotten so bad about the lying. Like
for real.
I see so much like fake information all the time. And now with AI too, it's like starting to get really scary because people just like literally make things up.
Yeah.
With like fake photo evidence. And
it's so
I just like don't want to participate in it anymore. And I just don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it anymore. I used to get on Twitter and laugh. And now I get on Twitter and I'm like, this is literally a hellscape.
It's awful.
You know, I need to find my field of dreams.
Maybe we just need to walk outside and just start listening to the voices.
I think so. But also, you know what I was thinking, Dylan? You know what I think we should replace it with? Something that I've been saying for a very long time.
What is that?
Reading.
Ooh.
Reading a fucking book.
I mean, I'm reading a novel right now for the first time, and maybe when did I'm Thinking of Ending Things come out?
The movie? I think 2019?
I read that book before it came out, So 2017. So I'm reading my first book in 6 years right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
rough. I think the thing for me that's tough is I just don't really like novels.
Same.
I'm just
like nonfiction.
But I love nonfiction. Same. And I think it's like, what is actually Twitter giving me that I need? And it's like information. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love learning things. I love learning about things. And I'm like, man, I should just buy like Pauline Kael's like review collection. I should buy like all these people that I discovered because of Twitter. I'm like, I should just buy their fucking books. Like, and just learn about them. And I just feel like that, I think, is what's going to save me. I think I just need to like find a replacement for information. Yes, I care about current events and I need to figure out a way to do that, because it's just like, I don't trust the newspapers. Like, the thing I liked about Twitter is I was like, I feel like I was getting people's unfiltered opinions and thoughts and information about certain things that were happening. But I feel like that's getting really, honestly, since Elon took over Twitter, I feel like there's been a lot more misinformation on the internet, on Twitter. And it's just like, there's something kind of creepy going on.
Twitter. I don't trust billionaires buying kind of the last form of like whatever version of free, in a million air quotes, social media there was.
Yeah, so I just gotta find whatever alternative there is. I'm sure there's something out there, you know, where I can learn about what's going on.
Guess I'll get back on 4chan. Ugh.
Oh no.
I was on the music boards of 4chan. Found a lot of really good music that way.
Yeah.
And that's, I never went into any of the other ones because it was too scary. I was too afraid of the other things. I just like music.
I never participated in all that.
That's the music board's the only good board. That's how I found out about Anthony Fantano so early, like in 2010, whenever he was just, because he was just like active on 4chan. That's how he got like his kind of audience built. Anyway, that was dark. But you know what isn't dark? Straight people. I don't know what that transition was.
Straight people are full
of darkness.
They are full of it.
Full of darkness. And this movie, it checks off two boxes
that
are very important to the straight people movie mythos. And that is, it is both a father-daughter and a father-son movie.
Yep.
It's a rare, has both. It's like Interstellar, where it has both.
So important.
I don't know why Interstellar keeps coming up on the pod. I feel like I mentioned it recently. I haven't watched it recently. I don't know why.
I watched it for the first time recently, and I thought it was okay.
It's not bad. Also a movie about corn.
Oh my god. Is Interstellar just Field of Dreams?
Interstellar might just be Field of Dreams.
Oh my god. I think it kind of does have a lot in common with the movie.
Is Interstellar Field of Dreams?
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Fuck. Well, anyway, I don't want to dwell on that.
James Earl Jones is just the rolling robot that's like the
Wait,
three...
so does James Earl Jones come back?
Nothing just goes into corn and just it's like an annihilation.
That was a very confusing part.
It's the exact same. It's Tessa Thompson and James Earl Jones had the exact same fate.
He turns into corn. I'll write about it, and I was like, I don't think you like go to heaven and then just like come back, bro.
Yeah, you stay there.
What's funny is he probably just dies of starvation in the cornfield.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he could eat the corn.
He could eat the corn, but like, if that's all you had was like raw corn.
Yeah, no, you can't. But he's just like, keeps waiting to go to heaven, and he feels too embarrassed to go back to the Cosner house. So,
so he just rots out in the farm.
Yeah.
I thought Gabby Hoffman was precocious, adorable.
I know.
Cute little kid.
They don't make him like that anymore, do they?
Gabby
Hoffman was like actually a cute kid.
Like Gabby Hoffman and, oh my god, why can't I remember her name right now? Fucking Rilo Kiley. Ginny Lewis.
Oh, Ginny Lewis.
Yeah. They are the greatest child actors of all time. Maybe.
Well, there's categories. Yeah. Okay. Like, if we're talking about, like, good at being a child in a movie, like, just being a normal child, like, yeah, Gabby Hoffman, I got it down.
Crushed it.
In terms of greatest performances by a child ever, I mean, Haley Joel Osment, to me, is probably our greatest child actor of all time. I mean, like, AI, like, that, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm surprised. Is he haunted by what he did in that movie? Because he should be.
He should.
Because it's haunting. It was haunting. I still, to this day, have not rewatched AI Artificial Intelligence because that movie fucked me up so bad when I saw it when I was like 12 years old.
I need to rewatch it. Yeah, I also saw it around that age. And all everyone,
everyone rewatches as an adult and then gives it like a 5 and are like, this is Steven Spielberg's best movie.
That's crazy. Yeah,
but it's like too much. Like there's scenes in that movie that are like seared into my mind forever.
Oh, no.
That like really scarred me. That movie was way too deep for anyone under the age of 16 to be watching. Way too deep. But yeah, no, I think Haley Joel Osment is our great child actor. For girls, I would go with like, I don't know, like Kirsten Dunst maybe.
Yeah. Quiven Janae Wallace.
I mean, God, what happened to her?
What? She was an Annie and then, yeah, what is...
She like wrote a children's book or something? God, she's got to be like 18 by this point. That's crazy.
I was not close to that spelling. Okay. Oh my goodness. She's 19 now. Goodness.
Jesus.
Oh God. We're so fucking old. So she was in American Horror Stories. I don't know what that is. But her next thing is in a movie called Breathe, which stars Sam Worthington and Mila Jovovich. So you know it's going to be a slay. That. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely not going to watch that. I'm so sorry, Quiven Janae.
You deserved better.
So much better than that.
Yeah, she really did deserve better than that.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to do something. So this movie is inherently straight. There's not a lot of like details that are straight. I wanted to do something a little fun.
Okay.
What's the straightest sport? Let's rank sports.
Oh, God. But there's so many sports. Which sports are we doing?
Yeah, let's narrow it down. Football.
Okay.
We'll do 5. Football, baseball, basketball, soccer, golf.
So the least straight, the gayest sport of those 5 to me is soccer.
I would agree so.
Just something about it being more European just makes it seem gay to me. I'm so sorry to all the Europeans listening, but there's something kind of fruity about you guys.
It's a little fruity.
Yeah.
They never touch their hand, never use their hands. They're always like, mm-mm, yeah, they're always hands like, up. And they're
like when they're doing the ball kick thingy, they're always like,
yeah, they all like sugar and spice.
Yeah, it's very sugar and spice.
The trot.
But yeah, soccer to me is definitely the least gay.
Yeah.
And then I guess
the least straight, you mean?
The least straight. That one's the least straight. So soccer.
Soccer.
5th place.
5th. I would maybe actually I want to swap out golf for hockey. Sorry. Let's put in hockey.
So we have hockey, basketball, football, and baseball left.
Yeah.
Honestly, out of those, I think that the second gayest is football.
I think so too.
And here's why. Because out of all the sports, they have the most gays in it.
Yeah. And it's also like
it's just like always when athletes are coming out, they be football players.
Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't what's his fucking name? Who's the makeup influencer that looks like a goblin? Jeffree Star. Wasn't Jeffree Star dating a closeted football player?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's always like it's like an athlete's coming out. He's always a football player.
Always a football player.
And I think that the reason why they choose football as their sport is because they were like, this is the most macho. But in actuality, you're like tackling dudes all day.
Yeah, it's the one that closest resembles gay sex.
Yeah, it's the definitely like soccer just. Barely beats it out because of the European part, but like football is a close second.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going that first, if we're going gayest, it's like
yes,
soccer then football. Yeah,
I'd say 3rd would be hockey, if only for the ice skating, which is like ice skating.
Yeah, it's a little fruity. It's a little fruity. They also like I think that the smelliest place you could ever go is a hockey rink. Like they reek. Of BO. And, you know, for us gays, that's like an aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah, it's ripe.
All that stinky pit foot shit going on in there. With the ice. Because ice really, like, holds in the smell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you doing with that boot whenever you're done with it? Here, give it to me. I'll hold it. Don't put that skate up just yet. I'm not done with it.
Oh, my God. Even as someone that likes feet, that is repulsive.
I don't. Not me. But the armpits. Anywho. Now left we have basketball and baseball.
I already knew that this is what was gonna happen, but honestly the straightest sport is basketball.
It is.
It's so straight to me. I just think that like the fact that like Like, when you see a scene in a movie, like, in an inner city where people are playing, like, basketball, like, in the middle of their neighborhood, like, in the concrete or whatever, like, to me, that's, like, one of the straightest, like, realms in the world.
Yeah.
Is that space. Like, when I, like, drive by people playing basketball, I'm, like, I feel like I would, like, evaporate if I went to that space. Because it's just what, I would just feel so, like, I don't belong here. This is, like, not where I need to be.
And it's weird because it's, I feel like basketball is the most, like, fashion of the sports, but it's straight fashion.
Yeah, it's, like, really straight to me. Basketball's, like, super straight.
Basketball's super straight.
It's so straight that, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, I feel like some of our listeners, like they're gays that like sports. Like, God, you're such a baby. But
you can have it all.
I guarantee, not guarantee, no, I guarantee that none of y'all like basketball's your favorite sport. Like, none of the gays that like sports, that's their favorite sport. It's not.
No, it's tennis.
They're always like, yeah. They like tennis, they like volleyball, they like base. And if it's like a major one, it's like baseball and football.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're never like, I don't meet like gays that are like into basketball.
No.
It's like the one sport that like gays are just like not interested in because I think it's just so straight.
It's so straight.
It's like bounce a ball, put ball in basket. And I just feel like they're always so tall and skinny. There's nothing like really like sexual to me about basketball players. Like baseball players have the butts. Hockey players want to beat each other up. Football players have the butts and the shoulders, you know?
Yeah, basketball players are built for speed and precision.
Yeah, they're like literally like, it's like horrifying, a sports car. Kinda. Like it's like, yeah, they're like a sports car of a human being.
Yeah, they're just like, and that can never be me.
Yeah, it's like so like out of the realm. Like I feel like if I went to a basketball game, I would be like, whoa, like what even, like I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what's happening right now.
Honestly,
and I feel like, and I feel like our straightest celebrities go to basketball games, you know?
Oh yeah, you always see a celebrity what is it called? The courtside seats?
Yeah, always the straightest celebrities.
It'll always be someone like, I don't know,
like Chris Justin Hemsworth, Bieber.
Justin Bieber, and they're leaning over their girlfriend to talk to Drake.
Right.
You never see that at the baseball game.
But then you see like someone that's like a little fruity, like John Krasinski at a baseball game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything gay about this movie? Not much.
No. It's like I want the wife to be gay, but she's like so supportive.
Yeah.
It's too like male fantasy.
The one thing I did find reading the Wikipedia page for this is that, so the daughter's name is Karen in the movie, but it's spelled K-A-R-I-N, like Karen Drescher from The Knife.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's gay. I'll take that.
Gay. Yeah, sure. I do think the lady that wants to like burn books at the school was giving like kind of Marcia Gay Harden in the mist for me. So I'll maybe her.
Is she the only other woman in the movie?
Yeah, with lines, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, like, I guess, like, her, like, mom and her, like, sister came over and, like, they had, like, a line apiece.
Oh, yeah. So every woman in this movie is either not, like, subservient to Kevin Costner, but, like, allowing of his fantasies or is a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two types of women. The women that support your psychotic dreams or bitches, obviously. I love boomers, man. They're so funny.
They figured it out.
Imagine if Field of Dreams was about a woman.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, like,
what's our Field of Dreams? Is our Field of Dreams, like the CBGB?
Yeah, it would be us building.
It's like the CBGB. Like a voice being like, build it and they will come. And it's like the talking heads. Like, let's say it's like in the future and they're all dead because they're still alive, but whatever. And we like build the CBGB and then like the ghosts of like David Byrne and like
and
the other members that I don't remember their names because who cares? And
Tina Weymouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like that's it.
Yeah, and she's like canceled because she said like weird things about autistic people, right?
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
oh,
God. She did. But they like come out and they like play like a set and then like. And it's like people are talking to you and you're like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And they're like, there's nothing happening. And it's like,
you're like, you don't hear the Velvet Underground? They just started Heroin.
Oh my God, no, that's what it is. Oh my God, Dylan, you cracked it. It's the factory. We build the factory. Andy Warhol's the factory. And then the ghosts of all those fucking crackheads come back. Ah! Andy Warhol, fucking Candy Darling, fucking Lou Reed, Eileen Nico.
Warnos. No, wait, not Eileen Warnos. No, Mary Warnos. Eileen Warnos is a different person.
You're so gay.
Wrong Warnos. I get all my Warnos is confused.
Like, if Bob Dylan were dead, Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. That's what it would be. That's my field of dreams.
I'll put it in the Google Drive. We'll start on it now.
And then I guess, like, during, like, maybe, like, when the Led Zeppelin plays, like, an acoustic set in the factory, like, I can forgive the ghost of my dead father. When he was dead. He's not dead yet, but.
Yeah, you see, you look in the corner and you see someone doing a noise set, like, in the, yeah, it's in the corner of the factory, and then it's like, Dad?
Yeah.
Is that you?
And he's like, I always wanted to be a noise artist. I don't think he knew this about me. That's like, why I was unhappy with my
life. I always wanted to be the Garo Garo Gay Gay Gay.
I wanted to be like America's answer to Can, you know? Wow, this is getting really esoteric. Okay.
I love it. Yeah. All right, let's go to our gay recommendations where we recommend something a little gayer than what we just watched. I don't know what to put here. Can we put A League of Their Own again?
Oh my God. Wait, when did we do another baseball movie?
Have we recommended A League of Their Own before?
I think we have.
It feels like we have. I used to have a doc there where I kept all this information that I could reference, but I have not kept up with it. But I also I put Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris about a movie about someone following a dumbass dream for no reason. But it didn't feel right.
I feel like... Shit. They just don't make them like this for us.
We don't.
We don't get our dreams realized, so that's we don't know what that's like.
That yeah, it's like, the privilege of straight people is having dreams.
All I can recommend are more straight movies. Like Midnight in Paris is like the intellectual man's answer to fucking Field of Dreams.
Yeah, who plays Zelda in Midnight in Paris?
Alison Pill.
That's what I was like. I knew it was someone iconic. Okay, yeah. I don't want to recommend a Woody Allen movie. Actually, who fucking cares?
No, because it's not even gay, though.
Not gay.
But something like that, but for gay people.
The thing is, we have to make it. That's going to be the gay recommendation.
What's our soft adult contemporary fantasy film?
Bros.
Because I also decided while I was watching this movie that this like soft fantasy thing that we're trying to dub, it's the adult contemporary of movies.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent to listening to like Dido or like Gloria Estefan.
I need some cool like 22-year-old like Brooklyn lesbian to like start making adult contemporary music unironically.
I miss adult contemporary music. God, me too. I miss like Nora Jones. I miss like just really simple music. Like
if fucking Soccer Mommy announces her fourth album and it is all shit like A New Day Has Come by Celine Dion.
Yeah. It's like Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I would die. I would be so nice.
Ugh.
But yeah, no, there's really no movie like this for us.
Nope.
Is there?
Nope.
I mean, is like Tu Wong Fu like kind of like a soft fantasy film?
I'd say, you know.
Sort of.
I think the sheriff that's coming after them is cartoonish and not of this world.
It's like missing that fantasy element. It's missing ghosts. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's hard enough to recommend a gay sports movie, but a gay sports movie with ghosts.
Yeah. Because like Angels in the Outfield. God, there was a lot of sports ghost movies in this time period. But none of them are gay. They're all straight. Gay.
Just watch Angels in America.
Yeah, Angels in America. That's just watch Angels in America. Mike Nichols miniseries. It's on HBO Max.
Yeah, watch the second half. That's the more fantastical half of Angels.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You got it.
We did it. There are Angels in America, damn it.
There are, and they're in the outfield.
Yeah. Angels in America in the outfield.
My name is Dylan Garcia. You can follow me on Twitter at Diane Warren Vivo and on Instagram and Letterboxd at Garcied.
And my name is Kirk Van Sickle. And I guess you could still find me on Twitter and on Letterboxd at KRKVNSCKLE and on Instagram at Kirk_Van Sickle. But I might just start reading some books instead. And you're just going to have to like, you know, get to know me in real life. You know, I'm going to read some more Mishima. I'm going to become a fascist. It's going to be great.
Same. All right. We love you so much. Take care of yourself now. Bye-bye.
Go find your field of dreams.
Go find your field of dreams. And fill it with the hottest baseball players you can find. Bye.
And out came talk. Talk, talk.